This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and welcome to the Draft Prospect Review, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. We're working with somewhat of a skeleton crew here today with just Eric Scalvino and Paul Perillo.
Scary, isn't it?
It is a little scary. I hope you guys have a lot of information in there. So we're talking about the defensive line?
That's right. Lori, a couple of weeks ago, actually, on our Roster Report podcast, we started doing our analysis of each of the positions that the Patriots had, and we started with the deepest, working our way towards the least deep as we approached the draft. And we started with the deepest position, defensive line, Paul Perillo, which, ironically, it is the deepest, we think, position on the Patriots. But with that seventh pick in this draft, I wouldn't be surprised if one of the best defensive linemen, either a tackle or an end, is available if he goes to the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't know about the deepest, but it is a pretty deep position in this draft as well.
Defensive line,
I think there's some interesting prospects both at tackle and at end. And as always, the game, and we were talking about this before we came down, Eric, the game here with defensive linemen is trying to project which guys would fit into the Patriots as defensive linemen. And then after that, you know, kind of as a subsection, the guys that that could play end in the 3-4 as opposed to nose tackle. And then you take the speed kind of ends in college and then project them to see if they could play outside linebacker in the 3-4. So I think there are plenty of those guys that fit both, you know, all three categories really, but a pretty deep position here. And I think if the Patriots did decide to go early, there's a couple of guys that might fit the bill.
I think we all agree that if there's one guy in this draft that the Patriots would probably be most interested in, it'd be Vernon Golson of Ohio State. He might be a guy even that they would be willing to trade up to get. He has that kind of skill and that kind of potential.
And we think of him as a linebacker. Even though we're talking about defensive line right now, he was obviously an end at Ohio State, but has great measurables. I mean, great athleticism, size, speed, plays with an edge. You watched him on film a little bit. And
freakish talent. And
yeah, and he plays like an animal. You know, it just goes after the ball. A lot of his highlights came against Michigan, which I think, you know, that's the biggest game Ohio State plays every year, to see him showing up with big plays. Everybody knows about Vernon Golston. This is no secret, but we really, really like this guy. I think if there's a chance the Patriots can get him, I think that might be the most attractive pick in that top seven.
And that might be one of the most exciting picks the Pats have made in recent years.
Sure.
As far as a big-name player, a blue-chip player getting at that high, when Richard Seymour was taken back in 01, I don't think anyone really saw that coming too much, at least the fan base maybe. But Golston is a name that everyone knows about, and if he's there, I think that'd be a miracle for the Pats to get him.
I won't resign if they make that pick there. Hot shot.
But even more in the interior positions where, you know, Vince Wilfork is a guy that was another first-round pick that is maybe looking to try to secure a long-term deal. Wouldn't be surprised if guys like Cedric Ellis, Glenn Dorsey, some of the top defensive tackles in this draft who could probably play nose would be an option there.
Yeah, and you set it up right, Eric, because they have a lot of talent up front and they have some money invested there already. Now, Wilfork hasn't gotten his really big. I mean, he was a first-round pick, so he got a good rookie contract, but hasn't gotten the really, really big contract that Seymour got and that Ty Warren got. So you wonder.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah, so you wonder. He's signed through 09, so he's got a couple years left. And you wonder if the Patriots might say, take a guy, you know, if Dorsey were to fall to them, or, you know, Cedric Ellis, you know, by all accounts, will be available to them. I think they would make some sense as a backup nose tackle initially, and then a replacement potentially down the road if you don't want to give Wilfork that huge contract. Also, let's not rule out the possibility of the Patriots playing 4-3 and employing a couple of guys on the inside. You know, I think that's a little bit more of a long shot, but we know that they have that as part of their defense. They're multiple. They're going to use different formations. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Moving a little bit further down the road in terms of guys that could play inside, I think, in the 3-4, guys that could play nose tackle, kid out of Auburn that I was telling you about that I really liked, Pat Sims, is a guy who has that kind of size at 312 pounds, 6'4", maybe a little tall for that position. They like him a little bit shorter and stout like Will Fork.
Yep.
But I really liked his athleticism. He for that size, he moves very well. Penetrated. It showed some of his highlight showed him with a big club on his hand, so mm-hmm. playing injured and doing those kinds of things. I was impressed with him.
Mm-hmm. Now, we haven't mentioned him, and he's probably going to be the first overall pick, and that's Chris Long, Howie Long's son, the defensive end out of Virginia. Probably not an option for the Patriots because, like I said, he'll probably get picked at that point. And it's probably also a possibility that they won't even go defensive line. They'll probably go with some other pick at number seven. So after looking at the tape, who are some of the guys maybe third, fourth, fifth round that you think might have some value for this team?
And I agree. I think there's probably a better chance that they use the pick on a defensive lineman in the first round than in the second or third,
mm-hmm.
if that makes any sense. Even though they have...
If they're going to get a guy, get him early.
Right, but because the value might just be too great mm-hmm. at number seven to pass up a Glenn Dorsey, for example, or a Cedric Ellis. They might just... Well, this is by far and away the best guy we have on the board. We're going to take him. Whereas in the second or third round, there are probably going to be guys at other positions similarly rated than guys like Pat Sims
mm-hmm.
and maybe some of those other guys, you know, Trevor Laws. And then you look
from
on
Notre
the out,
Dame.
You know, yeah, the kid from Notre Dame. And on the outside, you know, maybe, you know, a Lawrence Jackson, a Kelly Campbell. You know, if those guys are available in the second round, you're dealing with, do they translate to three? I don't think they're 3-4 ends. And I don't necessarily know if they're going to be able to play outside linebacker. So I think there's more of a chance top number seven pick top round than later on. But once you get back, you know, down a little bit further, I think that there's some tackles that are intriguing. You know, Red Bryant, a kid out of Texas
yes.
A&M.
Yeah. Enormous.
Yeah, really, really big guy. Very tall. He's 6'5", though. He's, you know, he's like Richard Seymour size.
Yeah.
I think he could play an end in the 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's, you know, he was a defensive tackle. And there was one of the kid I told you about, Eric, and I looked up on NFL Draft Scout. They slated him as a projected fourth-round pick. DeMario Presley is a kid, 6'3", 300 pounds out of NC State.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he caught my eye was I thought, you know, and again, a very untrained scout's eye. I'm not a football scout. I don't pretend to be one. But he seemed to me to be playing some two-gap technique on the tape. I saw him lining up at nose tackle on mm-hmm. one particular play. And when he was lined up in four-man lines as a tackle, I thought he was head up on the guard. So I think that might be a guy that has some two-gap technique in his background, and that could be attractive later on in the draft for the Patriots.
Absolutely. One of the things that struck me after watching film of both the tackle and end position is that there are a large number of large individuals available who are extremely quick for their size. I mean, these are enormous. You know, like you said, 6'4", 6'5", Richard Seymour type height.
Yep.
And just
but 300 plus pounds.
Way 300 plus, maybe closer to tipping the 400 pound, and these guys can move.
Yeah.
They're flying around. They're going sideline to sideline trying to make tackles. I mean, very impressive.
I think it's an impressive group.
Very impressive.
And then you move to the ends, and didn't it seem like there were one after another on that video highlights of these athletic 240 to 255 pounds,
mm-hmm.
you know, somewhere in that range, 6'3", 6'4", 6'5".
Basketball
just
player
types. Just athletes.
Yeah.
Yes, just athletes mm-hmm. running after the quarterback. I have to think some of these guys translate to outside linebacker in the 3-4,
yep.
you know, in the Patriots system. And, you know, some of those guys, you know, kid Darryl Robertson out of Georgia Tech was
yep.
one of them that I thought, you know, had those kinds of skills. He's, you know, a second, third round kind of guy. Chris Ellis is a kid out of Virginia Tech. I wasn't quite as high on him as some others, but maybe a fourth round guy. You know, we've heard a lot about Cliff Averill.
Yes.
He's going to go earlier. He's going to be a second. Again, he's probably, I think, that the cornerback or straight linebacker might be more attractive there. But he's a second round kid out of Purdue.
Reports I've seen published that he has a scheduled visit pre-draft.
Yeah, I mean, he's been written about a lot. I know that the fans are fully aware of
mm-hmm.
him. But there's some guys like that, you know, 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". They're 240, 245, 250. They just look like athletes to me. And you said it, basketball players. And
sure.
You set them up on the edge. They're Willie McGinnis types. They're not mm-hmm. really defensive ends. They're not really linebackers, but they're football
right.
players. They're
yeah.
athletes, and they can get after the quarterback and do different things. I think there's four right. or five interesting
they
prospects
line up
like
a,
that in this draft.
They could line up with a hand on the ground. They could line up straight up. Rush the passer. There's a number of things you could do with either one of them. So, looks like it's going to be an interesting position to watch, though, given, as we said, the fact that New England is already deep at the position, but if you can add more depth and more quality at that spot, why not? So that's one of the things we'll be watching on draft day and in the days to come. So, Lori?
Not many days to come.
Not many. No, it's ticking. We're about 2.5 weeks now away from one of the most exciting times on the NFL calendar.
You're going to miss that draft.
I'm going to miss these draft prospect review podcasts. I am. But
we'll always have Fridays for
the
roster report, too.
The roster reports will forever be there.
That's right.
Well, join us again.
You, kid.
Oh,
old movie references. She doesn't get them.
No, I'm too young. Anyway. Join us again next week for a new
too
draft
dumb.
Prospect review. Hey!
What?
Who says that?
Andy's not here.
You
someone had
the line.
To.
That was a line. My, I'm feeling a little
my apologies.
Here.
I'll give you the pinky.
Thanks for listening, and go Pats!
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com. No!